Hey, podcast listeners. Today, I'm talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is the intersection between entrepreneurship, business ownership, and parenting. So I'll talk about five ways that I think entrepreneur households help to support raising resilient children and share a few examples from my life with Rob, raising our now young adult and teenage kids. And I hope it serves you, even if you're not parenting, and I hope that the reflections on what it is that we're doing when we take the step to start, launch, grow a business, how that shapes who we are, what our values are, and how it trickles down to our relationships and the people that we're close to. You may be aware that Rob and my recent book, Exit Strategy, is now out and available. The Kickstarter was successful funded and it is for sale on Amazon as of March 11th. You can also pre-order the book at exitstrategybook.com and follow along the journey, the resources, all of the things that might help you think about your exit. We really wanted to write a book that would help prepare entrepreneurs for thinking about an exit process at any stage of the journey. So even if you're just beginning and you're like, I will never leave this company, this is my baby, this book is actually still helpful for you. It's a little bit the book that you read when you have a baby, but you're also preparing like to mentally launch your child into adulthood. It's always relevant and helpful to think about how to extricate yourself from your business and how to make sure that your business can survive and even thrive without you at the helm. So we hope this book is super helpful to you. And if you have read it or are looking at it, we really appreciate you, you know, sharing on social media, reviewing it on Amazon, all of the things that help to get the word out about our work so that we can keep doing more great work. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means. Sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host, I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs. And I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hi, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I am a clinical psychologist who takes care of entrepreneurs. I help entrepreneurs and high performers with all manner of transitions and challenges. And sometimes those challenges are the challenges of rapid growth or really great things happening, but things that still require some adjustment and modification of mindset or different ways of seeing themselves and their work. So it is my deep, deep privilege to be in the world of entrepreneurs. I'm married to an entrepreneur. I've been married to a tech entrepreneur for 25 years. I am myself an entrepreneur and I spend my days talking to entrepreneurs. So I am deeply immersed in this world and I have raised children in an entrepreneurial house. So my kids are currently 18 and 14. And they have no memory of having parents that go to traditional 9-to-5 jobs. Both Rob and I have worked 9-to-5 jobs at some point in our lives, but it's not been for a long time and our kids have no memory of that. So all they know is this entrepreneur life. And it has been a really important part of parenting them to kind of bring them up with a set of values and a way of living and a way of seeing life that is deeply informed by entrepreneurship. So today I want to talk about why I think entrepreneurs are sort of have this like extra advantage at raising resilient children. So obviously kids who are growing up in entrepreneurial households witness the highs and lows of building a business. And this can be challenging. You know, I know a lot of people who, when they were coming up as children, were impacted by their parents' financial struggles. Maybe they lived in a family where a parent lost a job or they lost a house or they had to have a significant downsize. So the rise and fall, the financial instability and insecurity that happens in a household can have a really significant impact on a kid. But it can also instill some amazing adaptability, flexibility, resilience, problem-solving skills, determination, goal setting, all of these things that help entrepreneurs to be successful are excellent skills for children to begin developing even when they're really young. So here are five things that I've been thinking about that can help entrepreneurial families raise their children to thrive, certainly in the face of uncertainty. So the first thing is to model resilience in real time. Rob and I recently wrote a book called Exit Strategy. It is all about the psychological and practical process of selling a business without regrets. And we did it with a Kickstarter. We wanted to print these really beautiful hardcover books. Rob had previously done a Kickstarter campaign for his last book, The SaaS Playbook, and it was very, very successful. So we kind of thought like, we'll just execute the same plan. And we did execute the same plan, but this recent launch just wasn't as successful. This book is pretty niche and it didn't catch on the way that we were hoping it would. And so we had a lot of dinner time conversations with our kids about our learnings, our reflection, our review about this Kickstarter campaign that really didn't go as well as we'd hoped. It wasn't like an abject failure. It just didn't like really take off. And so our kids got to hear a lot of our own process around how we faced a setback, how we were a little bit stressed about whether the Kickstarter would fund, how we maybe were a little bit over ambitious or just expected that the playbook that worked before would work again, and how that maybe isn't the best way to attack a new project. So we used this as teachable moments to explain to our kids how to handle challenges, to pivot when needed, to remain optimistic, or even to just sort of bounce back when something doesn't work. It feels really important for me to show children that failure is a natural part of growth. It helps to normalize that there are going to be setbacks and help kids to learn some grit, teaches them some perseverance. And it's, I think, really interesting for kids to have the perspective of their parents as people who are taking risks and trying things, but it doesn't always work out. Like, sometimes I think parents are really upheld on this pedestal of these kind of perfect, can do no wrong, idealized, well, at least until kids become teenagers. And I don't know that that's so helpful. So I think that the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, the risks that we take, the things that don't pan out the way that we want them to, these can teach our children to identify and process emotions, to discuss feelings, disappointment, both yours and theirs. And I think this process of empathy and emotional regulation are really important skills when we're playing big in our lives and we want to model for our children how to play big. I think also it's really helpful in these more turbulent ups and down times for us to model how we prioritize self-care, you know, how we kind of pick ourselves up, how we comfort ourselves, how we seek emotional support, even by talking about a failure at the dinner table, that there's no shame in the trying of something, but there are lots of resources and skills to help re-regulate and comfort if something doesn't go well. The second way that an entrepreneurial household, I think, is amazing for kids is that they can get involved in the journey. Both Rob and I host events. Rob hosts MicroConf. I host an annual circus show that focuses on the relationships between movement and mental health. And our kids are pretty deeply involved in those activities. So at the circus show, my kids each have like a significant job. One will check in everybody in with their tickets, and one will sell books or like have another role. And so they, even as, you know, early young teenagers, had this sort of public-facing responsibility in a real live show, a real live activity. It wasn't like lemonade stand's kid business. It was something real, and the implications of them being able to fully participate, like we really relied on them. I really rely on them to do their job, quote unquote. So including your children in age-appropriate aspects of your entrepreneurial life, let them see how you make decisions, let them see the work that's involved. Our kids also have spent a lot of time packaging, selling books. Or sometimes we've had them look at a logo or an image or new website copy. It's really helpful to get their perspective and help them learn to see behind the curtain of what it takes to do some of these activities, but to contribute in a really meaningful way, to be relied upon, to be trusted to do something that really matters, whether it's a public-facing, you know, book-selling table or something else. But their involvement really can foster a level of self-reliance and a sense that they can indeed contribute. They can make decisions that are trustworthy with real dollars. Also, if you are an author, having your like very small, very cute child do your book sales for you is definitely going to increase your sales. I think Finn was first active in selling books for me when they were like 11, and they were really motivated for the sales cut that I gave them. And so it was good for me. It was good for them. Number three, being raised in an entrepreneurial household can foster independent problem solving and emphasize flexibility. We want our children to feel like they are safe and like they have a safety net. But we have a bit of a model of parenting that's like not too comfortable. So in the summers, as soon as our kids were teenagers, in the summer, we stopped giving them any allowance or any money. But instead, we offered to match their earnings up to a certain level. So this emphasizes some hustle. Our oldest child, when we started doing this arrangement, was old enough to get like a proper job. So they got a job as a junior counselor at a summer camp and, you know, worked the summer, made their money, and we matched part of that money. But our younger child, when we first started doing this arrangement, was only 13 and so couldn't go out and get a job like at an ice cream shop or at the summer camp. So that kiddo had to hustle, and they did a lot of dog sitting and dog walking and other kind of service jobs around the neighborhood. And at first, when we first proposed this, he was pretty frustrated. Like, how am I going to possibly earn enough money to fund my spending habits for the year? Because summer is the big earning time for our kids. But we provided them enough gentle support. I made some connections. I let my friends know that Fisher was available for dog sitting and dog walking. But it really encouraged him to take ownership over the challenge. If they faced difficulty, they weren't making enough money, like they needed to hustle. So there is a lot of hustle that happens in entrepreneurship. And underneath the hustle, the real value is problem solving, is energy, is effort, is flexibility. And those are all skills that are extraordinarily valuable that I think that we can double down on in entrepreneurial homes. Making my kids hustle also, of course, helps them be resilient in that they have to bounce back when they face difficulty. They have to brainstorm solutions. They have to negotiate prices. They have to be confident in their ability, and they have to follow through. So I think it's extraordinarily important to, as young as is feasible, give them real opportunity. The fourth way that being raised in an entrepreneurial household can help instill resilience is it really does encourage a growth mindset. We really emphasize and celebrate what is being learned. So rather than focus just on outcomes, we focus on the amount of effort that was applied. We focus on growth. We really praise our kids' willingness to try, to experiment, to persist. And the final outcome does matter. We'll make them, you know, make some like silly rewards for straight A's or reinforce the effort at the end. But so much more important is the reinforcing of the determination and the effort all along. If you've been following our family journey for any amount of time, you know that our kids are both pretty significant or pretty serious musicians. And they have come up through a teaching of music called Suzuki Method, which is actually a very perfectionistically oriented form of music training. So kids are taught by ear when they're very little. And in order to pass a song, it has to be polished. It has to be perfect. So on one hand, that's not necessarily like a super growth oriented, like it's very like outcome. It's either perfect or it's not perfect. But there's all of these moments along the way where there's growth in getting the bowings correct, or there's growth in getting the fingerings correct. It's broken down into all of the little steps that matter on the way to that perfect outcome. And that, I think, is the growth mindset that I really love. And that's the thing that I want to give my kids. It's the thing that we do in our businesses all the time. There's all of these small incremental steps, and breaking it down into the small incremental steps and celebrating mastery over the small incremental steps is what growth is. So we want to teach our kids persistence, and that mirrors the entrepreneurial journey in so many ways. I think it also is just this communication of possibility. My youngest son really wanted to play lacrosse. And they started wanting to play lacrosse when they were like 12. And a lot of people had already been playing lacrosse or soccer or football or some other field-based sport. And it felt like Fisher was a little bit late to the game, in literally and figuratively, in terms of understanding like field presence and how people move around a field. Like there were a lot of things that he didn't want to play soccer. He didn't want to play organized sports when he was a little guy. He was busy doing music. And so coming in at 12 felt like, oof, that's going to be a little rough. Like you have a lot to learn and make up for. But he has executed on those skills like really diligently over the past couple of years. And now that he's 14, he's about to try out for his school lacrosse team. And I don't know if he'll make it or not, but like we're all just so proud of the developing athlete that he's become and the way that he's broken down the skills into these small steps. And it's a really, really lovely use of the growth mindset, which is this belief that I can't do it right now, but I deeply know my capacity to move toward greater mastery. I believe in my ability to learn or to try or to practice. And that is what it is all about. Okay, the fifth thing that I think is really extraordinary for kids, really wonderful for them growing up in an entrepreneurial household, is financial literacy. We have a relationship with money that is based a lot on self-reliance and autonomy. So we teach financial literacy pretty early. Our kids know a lot about what things cost, how money works. They both have crypto, like they're just like in the game. And that feels really important because, you know, one of the benefits of the life that Rob and I have had is that we have accumulated wealth. We've accumulated much more wealth than like our family of origin accumulated. And so it's really important that we teach our children how to manage that wealth well. When I was a kid, I didn't have any money. My parents didn't have any money. And so the game was just like, take all the money that you have and save it really well. And that was what I learned about money, was to like worry about it. And that's not the reality that our children are growing up in. And so the skills that they need are about how to use money well, how to grow more wealth, how to be generous, how to use wealth as a resource that makes life easier, but also makes life better for themselves and for other people. And so really early on in their lives, like when they were 4, 5, and 6, we had conversations about budgeting and saving and giving and investing and these different ways of interacting with money that's now just kind of part of their DNA. So understanding financial principles and having a sense of money mastery, a relationship with money that one feels responsible for and self-reliant in their use of and ability to sort of navigate financial systems, that feels absolutely essential. And I think that has been so important to us because of our entrepreneurial lives. It's really wonderful to see them navigate it with increasing confidence. So raising kiddos is a hard road. And I am really grateful for the things that I have learned from my life as an entrepreneur, from my life being married to an entrepreneur, because I do think that it has provided us these really helpful frameworks for us to instill self-reliance and growth mindset and resilience in our kids. Because at the end of the day, as an entrepreneur, you are responsible for yourself. And that is a bit what we're after in our raising of children, is to help someone move from dependence to independence, from being a child to being an adult who is capable of thinking for themselves and making decisions for themselves and interacting from a sense of self that is whole and well and able to consider complicated problems and then contribute meaningfully to the world around them and to also be joyfully in relationship with others. That starts from a whole self, a responsible self. So I love this topic. If you have questions about entrepreneurship and parenting, please let me know. I will confess, like a half-written book on the subject, which maybe I'll get around to if I can find my own self-reliance. Thank you so much for watching and for listening. I appreciate you. Feel free to subscribe to my newsletter, where I share about twice a month information related to well-being and entrepreneurship. And I'd love to have you in the mix there. And that's also a good place to learn about other projects that I'm working on, books that I'm writing, and anything else that would be of help to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.